Let's pray. Lord, this evening we are thankful for the opportunity to be here. As many of us have been looking forward to these evenings where we can set aside just some extra time to be with one another and be under the teaching of your word. And so we just pray for our brother Joe here that you would give him unction from on high by your Holy Spirit to speak the things that need to be spoken to us. And we trust that you have prepared him, and we ask your blessing on him even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Well, Joe said, pray for me, and I thought, well, I will pray for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good evening. What a blessing to be here. I want to thank you for inviting me. It's always a blessing when I have to set time off my schedule and go into the Word of God and prepare messages. And so it's been a tremendous blessing. Although it kind of seemed like last night the enemy was trying to discourage me and things, different things came up, and it seemed like I couldn't really get in the Word. But I recognized what was happening, so I praise the Lord. There's a higher power, and we can recognize that. So I'm here tonight encouraged and hoping to encourage you as you gather here. I don't know a lot of faces here. There's a few of you I know, especially Mervyn's back there. We kind of reminisced a little bit here this afternoon. It's been quite a while since we really got together and talked about some of the earlier days when we gathered and rejoiced and praised the Lord together. So it's been a tremendous blessing. So, yeah, I'd like for you to pray for me. I'm really struggling with my left eye. It's been going on for a couple months. Last night I couldn't even read. Everything was just blurry. Then it messes my right eye up. So I ask that you really pray for my eye. It's been really bothering me. I don't know if it's allergies or I should probably go see the doctor because it's been going on for a while. So I need your prayers in that. But I would like to establish a few things here tonight. And I think the first thing I would like to establish here tonight is an easy thing to establish with y'all. And that is the Word of God is true. And the Word of God will always stand. It don't matter. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And we know whatever is in these two covers is truth. And whatever we read and we look at, we know is truth. In today's world, there's so many things that are so deceptive. I was telling the church here a while back, I says, you know, there's people that can't even college people that can't even tell you what a man is. But you know, the Word of God stands. And so I'd like to get the children involved a little bit here. And I'd like to encourage you. I remember when I was some of your age, I remember a teacher telling us different times. He says, when you get out, you grow up and you get out of school, people are going to come to you and they're going to tempt you. They're going to try to deceive you. They're going to tell you this is okay and that is okay. And I kind of question, why would the teacher be telling me that? You know, I think it was the first year I was out of school, I got offered my first cocaine drugs. So, life is real. And children, I want to encourage you to always remember the Word of God will never change. It's always going to be the same, and it will never change, regardless what anyone says. You can stand on it. You can know it's going to stand forever and forever. And I remember there's a little story about Abraham Lincoln. It was said that Abraham Lincoln once said, asked the question to a crowd of people. He says, now, if I would call a dog's tail a lake, how many lakes would a dog have? And they said, five. He said, wrong. He said, just because I call a dog's tail a lake doesn't mean that it's a lake. And so I have a question for you, children. How many of you in here go to school? Can I see your hands? How many go to school? I see a number of hands. Well, God bless you for going to school. Have a question for you. Mom or dad, are they teaching you multiplications? Can you tell me what 2 plus 2 is?
4.
4. Who said that? Thank you. 2 plus 2 is 4. Now, if I would stand up here and tell you 2 plus 2 is 5, would you believe me? Would anyone believe me? 2 plus 2 is 5. I would start teaching you 2 plus 2 is 5, and tomorrow night I'd come and tell you, you know, 2 plus 2 is 5. And then mom and dad would start, eh, maybe it is. You know, 2 plus 2 is always going to be 4. And that's what I'm telling you, the Word of God is always going to stand. So I want to encourage you, little children, always remember the Word of God is going to stand. So I'd like to turn a little bit to 1 Peter chapter 1 before I have an introduction. I'll introduce myself. Probably by now I don't have to tell you where I come from. You heard it from my accent. I got this, there, then, what, and all that in there, and it pretty well tells me where I'm from. But this is the weekend meeting here. There's something I'd like to point out here, and that is kind of my theme, or it's my heart's desire. I could say it's my heart's desire that we all experience this and that we all have this. And I'm going to start in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So there's an enemy he's seeking. He's seeing who can he can devour. And then it goes on in verse 9, whom resists steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So we need to stand firm against our enemy, the devil. We have to stand firm and be strong in the faith. And then in verse 10 it says, this is where I want to get to. But God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory of Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, says, make you perfect. Make you perfect. Established. Strengthened. Settle you. That is my heart's desire, that we can be perfect, that we can be established, strengthened, and settled. As I preach these messages, and so I'm going to share a little bit where I come from, a little bit of my background. I'm not going to, maybe some of the other evenings I'll bring a little more of my testimony out, but to share just a little bit, I grew up in Holmes County, as you probably all heard by now, with my accent, Trail, Ohio. Had two brothers, two sisters. One brother passed away when he was 5. I would have been 7. And so we had a pretty normal life. We worked and worked and worked. We did that. That's my dad worked 50 plus hours a week at a strip mine, and then we had part-time jobs. We had a sewing machine business. We tried to farm, and we tried to do all this and that. So we did a lot of work, but we had a pretty normal life. We heard about the soldiers, and I always said I grew up military style. Everything was just boom, 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 boom. We went to bed when school was. We went to bed at 8 o'clock in the morning, at night, I forget what time. We had an alarm clock at a very young age. We knew to get up. We didn't even have those fancy little snooze buttons. We had to get up. And so everything was, we knew 10 after 4 supper is. In fact, Mom and Dad still eat supper at 10 after 4 today. Not after, not before. And everything was just like that. And it made it kind of interesting when I got married because my wife was, grew up, could I say opposite? Opposite. But the Lord has shown us, I'm really blessed with the family we had. I grew up Old Order Amish, had very, very little teaching spiritually, very little knowledge of spiritual things. And I'm just going to share you a little bit about my growing up years as a boy. And the reason I do this, because I like when people are transparent. I like if we can be transparent. And there was a time in my life I would have never told you, because I can perform pretty good. I can make myself look pretty good, you know, at certain things. There was a time in life I would have never shared this. But I like if we're transparent. I like if we're open. I like if we all have struggles. We all grew up different in different settings. And so I had, as a young child going to school, I struggled from the day one of going to school. And I went to a public school. In second grade, I did not pass. They didn't know what to do with me. And my son, he was a school teacher. I told him if he would have had Dad, it would have been a nightmare for him. I was dyslexic. I want to read my words backwards. I have a terrible time reading. I have a terrible time memorizing. I had a struggle as I went through school, and so I was a real hard learner. School was definitely not my favorite. I got made fun of at school. I had nicknames. I just really hated them, and so my life after about 10 years old, my life really got, I probably won't go into any details, but things happened in my life that really didn't help my situation at all. But I do remember my dad did not understand me at all. I'd have a lot of homework when I'd bring homework home, and he did not understand me. And he was a grade 8 student. He's Amish. He's an Old Order Amish man there at Holmes County. He ended up being a computer programmer, and that was his job. And so he was a grade 8 student. One day they at work where he was working, they were doing the GEDs, and they said, "Hey, we're doing the test today." He says, "Well, I didn't. You can take it too." And he says, "Well, I didn't study. Well, take it anyway." And he passed. And then here he has this little son that simply can't learn, and he didn't understand me. And it created a lot of struggles between Dad and I. I praise God. I called my dad about every day, talked to him. He'll turn 80, and just a tremendous blessing in my life. But so that's kind of my background. I grew up a very carnal man. I got in trouble a lot, and I wanted to be something and that I really wasn't. And just to make a long story short, I ended up getting married. In 1990, we married. We had two children, Leah and Stephen and Leah. They're both there at Bethlehem Church. We have 10 grandchildren now. We're really blessed with 10. It's quite lively in our house. The oldest is 10 years old when they all show up. So we just have this small little house, and it's a tremendous blessing. So we had the two children, and I ended up getting very, very sick. I think that was, I'd have to look for sure, but I think that was about in 1993, 1994. I ended up getting very, very sick, ended up in the hospital 4 days. But I remember, I thought in my mind, I thought I was going to die. I had a very high fever, and in fact, the emergency squad was showing up, and I was a very, very, very sick man. And so that was the first I ever had two children. That was the first I ever realized if I would die tonight, I'd be going to hell. And I started shaking all over. That was the first time in my life I actually really prayed to God. And I promised God, I told God, I says, if you let me live, I will read the Bible from the Genesis all the way to Revelation. I'll read the whole Bible, and there's a few neighbors I wronged, and I'll go make things right with them. And I thought that would take care of my struggles. My wife, she was born again at a very young age, which very untaught. Her mom wouldn't let her talk about it. She told her that we don't believe that way. And so she couldn't teach me a lot, but that's one thing she says, Joe, reading your Bible is good, but how you're doing it and how you're going about is really not doing you any good. So in the midst of that, I got addicted to gum, literally addicted to gum. I was having panic attacks, and it's a long story. I ended up in the hospital different times because of a panic attacks. Shortly, I was barely out of the panic attacks. It was some couple years later, because I got in 1999. I got ordained in the Old Order Amish Church, unconverted. I hardly ever read the Word of God. If you would have asked me where 1 Corinthians is, I would have had no idea it's at the Old or New Testament. I was expected to preach in High German. I could not read it and understand it, and I was a very hard learner. So there were these certain scriptures that we were supposed to teach, especially at Council Church. There was this certain scripture, I'm not sure I can quote it, but there in Colossians chapter 2, it says, as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, so be rooted and built up in him as you've been taught, or something like that. And afterward, and I quoted in, so we are non angnomahant and heran Jesus Christus, so wandle de die in psycho virtual, and body in vir glerzeit, to serbly rightly dankwa. How many of you understood it? There was a few probably back there that did. So that's how much I didn't understand it. And a brother from church came up and says, so you ministers, y'all quote that. What does it mean? I says, I have no idea. And he says, maybe you should read and study and see what it means, what you're preaching. And that's really where I got convicted, and I really started digging. And that was the first scriptures I really was at all what really meant. And I started seeking. And about a year later, I was born again. One Friday night, it was a dramatic change for me. It was a dramatic change for my wife. It was a dramatic change for the community, for the church. And that's when our journey began. I was telling Brother Chris, I believe it was Chris this evening, it's just by the grace of God I'm here tonight. I was born again, but the direction I wanted to go and the direction I was seeking to go, I seen a lot of my friends take that direction. And a lot of my friends that were born again over that time, they're out in the world. Because of choices they made and decisions they made, the people they surrounded themselves with. But God surrounded us with the right people, gave us right teaching, right direction, and although there was not a lot of them. And one of the many, many blessings of that, and I'm telling you, I don't know what you're going through here, any one of you here, but sometimes hard things come into life, and we just don't understand why. We just cannot know why, God, why are you sending this, or God, why are you letting this happen? I was telling Brother Mervin tonight, I says, you know, I look back
When then after that, we moved to Southern Ohio, and that's where we ended up meeting up with Mervyn's. They moved into the community. And right at that time, it was probably one of our, I would look back, it was probably one of our hardest times in life. Right at that time. And now I look back at it, and I praise God, and I thank God for those times. Because it was times where people would, they would challenge us, and we had nowhere to go but to the Word of God. And we had to seek, and we had to search, and we had to know where we stood on the Word of God. And we got challenged over and over. And people didn't want anything to do with us, and they wanted to excommunicate us. And just a little before that, the church we had left in Holmes County wanted to do the same thing. And the blessing of the whole thing was we lost all our friends. We lost all our friends. And I look back, I think it's the grace of God. So sometimes we don't understand, and we don't know why. We ask God, why? I didn't understand why we got rejected from most of our friends in Holmes County. I remember one of the hardest things was our children's closest friends. Their parents told them, if you go by Joe Mass house, don't look in. You cannot look in at their house. You have to look the other way as you bike through there. You know, there's some hard times. But we had to go into the Word of God. And we were living in Southern Ohio. I remember the first Sunday. First Sunday, on the way home from church, I looked at my wife and I says, you know, we really messed up by moving 250 miles to this place. And I questioned myself over and over. How could I make such a wrong decision? I don't anymore. The Lord had a reason for me there. And it was to teach me, to show me the way, the true way. So I want to encourage you, if there's anyone struggling, sometimes we ask why, and we don't understand. I guess I didn't give a real introduction here. My name's Joe. My wife's name is Iva. And as I said, we have 2 children, 10 grandchildren. We're there at Bethlehem Christian Fellowship, and we're just tremendously blessed. Life has been a tremendous blessing. It's challenging. It's challenging, but it's a tremendous blessing. So, I don't know. I don't have children at home anymore. They used to tell me, Dad, you preach too long, so I'm not sure what time you're looking at having the meetings over at. But 8:30 and follow the Spirit. So, thank you, brother. Our life's just been a tremendous blessing. Like I said, it's just by the grace of God. Maybe as the evenings go on, I'll continue some of my things. And some of them I'm not going to detail, but it'll pretty well tell you where I was at in my life. So I have a heart's desire tonight that you're made perfect, that you're established, you're strengthened, and you're settled. That's my heart's desire here. You know, there's many people are at odds with God. And they're, you know, there's just, in their mind, there's just nothing's going right for them. And they're just really bent out of shape. And they really don't know what's bothering them. And they experience this inner turmoil. And their relationship is struggling. And it's very evident that they have a broken relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight I titled my message, What Does the Lord Require of Thee? Now we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. You know, have we really asked ourselves this question? What does the Lord require of thee? Or would we rather phrase it this way? What does the Lord desire of thee? It's what he requires of us. So let's ask us this question. What does the Lord require of us? Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, as I told you, I'm going to have a lot of words that I don't know how to pronounce, and I may skip some of them, not on purpose, but that's who I am, and I learned to accept it. So if anyone's in here, you little ones, you young ones, school children, if you're struggling, just be open and honest. It's okay. It's okay. This 56-year-old man, I probably can't tell you the ABCs. That's me. It's okay. It's okay to be open and honest. Just be yourself. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Our verse 12 there. It says, and now Israel, what does thy Lord, thy God, require of thee? It does not say desire. It says require of thee. It says, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in some of his ways. Is that what it says? It says all of his ways. In fact, I take a pen, and as I study and as I come across this little, very, very, very important word, it's a three-letter word. It is all. I circle them or underline it. In my Bible, if you go through my Bible, you see this little three-letter word that is so important to me. It's underlined, and it's all. So it says, so walk in all his ways. It doesn't say walk in some of his ways, but it says in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with some of thy heart. Is that what it says? It says, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That is what God requires of us. Let's just read that again. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what's required of us. What does the Lord require of thee? Require in the Strong's means to request, to demand. To request, to demand. You know, let's remember, whatever God requires of us or demands from us, that it's always for our good. It's always for our good. In verse 13, it says, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good.
Amen.
For thy good. You know, to be a Christian, there is no other option. There is no other option. There are so many people going through life. They profess to be born again. They profess to be a Christian. But in their mind, it's not required that they walk in all his ways. And it's not required that they love the Lord with all their heart and all their soul. So there's no option. I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 5 and get a few verses there. It says, and afterward Moses and Abraham went in and told Pharaoh. They said, the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So Pharaoh's question is, who is the Lord that I should obey the voice to let Israel go? Now, do we think Pharaoh found out who the Lord is? If we think of the Red Sea and the parting of the Red Sea and Israel going through there, and Pharaoh came right behind, he found out who the Lord is. So it doesn't matter who we are. So the question again is, what does the Lord God require of thee? And so I'm going to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 10 again. And just look at some of this. Number one is to fear the Lord thy God. You know, this is the first requirement, to fear the Lord thy God. And you know, what does that mean, to fear the Lord thy God? You know, we must trust him. And I had to think of Noah. Here was Noah. I believe he had a fear of God. I believe he trusted God. And you know, we all recognize, we go to Genesis and we recognize how Noah was told to build that ark. You know, we probably sit here and every one of us thinking, you know, if I would have been Noah, God spoke to Noah, we would probably think, you know, I would have done just what God told me to do if I would be Noah. But would we? Or was that just for Noah? So we need to act upon his word and fear to displease him. And I thought of Abraham. If we look at Genesis chapter 22. I think we're all familiar with this account here. Genesis chapter 22. Here's a man. Here's a man who feared God, who trusted God, who walked with God, who obeyed God. And this is Abraham. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. Now let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes. As we're sitting here tonight, let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes. He said, Behold, Abraham said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. So he said, Take thy son, and thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of those mountains which I will tell thee of. Now let's notice this. In verse 3, it says, And Abram rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. See, he did all these things. We notice that word and in there. And Abram rose up, and he saddled, and he took two of the young men, and Isaac his son, and wood, and rose up early in the morning. And on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. And then it says, And Abram said unto the young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I, and the lad, will do go yonder, and worship, and come again to you. Abram trusted God. Abram had a fear of God. Abraham was obedient to the word of God. And we know the story. If we continue there. I'm just going to read on down to verse 13 probably. And so here he was. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand, a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abram, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? That must have been a hard question for Abraham to answer. Here's the wood. Where's the lamp for the burn and the fire? He says, where's the lamp for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son. He said, my son. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went of them together. You know, how could Abraham do this? Because Abraham had a connection with God. Abraham had the fear of God. Abraham, he was obedient unto God. And they both went up together. And they came to a place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou dost not withhold thy son, thine only son, from me. He says, I see that you fear God. In other words, you're not holding anything back from me. Is there anything in our life we just can't give up? We're just holding on to. We're just clinging on to that. We're just not letting go. And God is asking us to let go. Here Abraham had such a relationship. And it says God did tempt Abraham. It was a test for Abraham. And Abraham passed the test. Because he trusted God, he knew God, and he feared God. He says, and I know thou that feareth God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered him up the burnt offering instead of his son. See, God provided. Abraham trusted. And that's what God is asking from us, that we just trust him, that we're obedient under the word of God and trust him. God's going to take care of it. You know, the next one is to walk in all his ways. Have we given up our ways to walk God's ways? You know, it doesn't say to walk in some of his ways, but it says to walk in all his ways. Deuteronomy chapter 16, chapter 10, verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be not no more stiff-necked. Circumcision means destroy. Destroy. Destroy, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. We need to walk in his ways. Circumcision may indicate separation and submission. You know, God's ways is always the best ways. You know, this is what God requires of us, all of us, to walk in his ways. The other thing he requires is to love him. Do we love the Lord? You know, we don't love the Lord, we'll automatically hate, or automatically, if we love the Lord, we'll automatically hate evil. And you know, let's ask us, how much do we love him? You know, God requires that we love him, but really, how much do we love him? The other thing is to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Did we yield our whole body to him? to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Did we yield our whole body to him? Let's ask the question, young men. Did we yield our eyes to him? Did we yield our ears to him? Did we yield our lips to him? Did we yield our hands to him? And did we yield our feet to him? You know, God requires us to do that. To yield everything to him. You know, sometimes there's these little, I like to look at my heart. I ask God at times, I tell God, I says, you just take that spotlight and you shine it into my heart and you look into every corner of my heart. Is there anything still in there I need to repent of? Or that I'm just hanging on to that one little thing in the corner of my heart that I really don't want anyone to know, or I just don't really want to let go of.
Right.
To serve the Lord the God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, we need to yield our whole body, everything. You know, but there's one more thing. To keep the commandments of the Lord. You know, we look at verse 13 here, Deuteronomy 10. To keep the commandment of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day. It says, for thy good. For thy good. You know, this should be our chief desire. Keep the commandment of the Lord. And you know, it should be one of our greatest concerns and should be one of our burning passions to keep the commandment of the Lord. You know, we must dwell deeply in the Word of God. I think it's so important that one of the other evenings, I may go in, get into that a little bit more. It's so important that we spend time in the Word of God and that we go deep into the Word of God. I just thought of Ezekiel. I forget which chapter it is in Ezekiel, but it talks about deeper waters. It's been a while since I read that chapter, but it talks about waters being up to the ankles. It talks about waters being up to the knees. And I think it says something about being waters up to the loins. And I always get this picture of waters to the ankle. You know, we can go into the water. It's pretty easy. Did you ever run through water? If it's not very deep, it's fairly easy. The children here, I'm sure you like to run through water puddles. It's pretty easy. But the deeper it gets, the more it'll slow you down. So we want to get into deeper waters. I always said this. We want to get into waters we can swim in. Boys, if you build a diving board, in a pond, where would you do it? At the shallow end or at the deep end? At the deep end. You want to go all the way. That's my heart's desire, that we can go all the way, that we are deeply rooted in the Word of God, so we can keep His commandments. You know, we must love the Bible. We must meditate on its truth and its teaching. You know, this is what God requires of us. It's really what God requires of us. I'm going to get one more scripture, and that's in Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in his will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire of his temple. For the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion, in the secret of the tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord. That's what God requires of us. That I may, one thing have I desired the Lord, that I will seek after thee, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of my life. I believe that's our desire. That's our heart's desire. But God requires things from us. So, I've heard a lot of testimonies over the years, the 20-some years I've been a Christian. I've heard of many a young man just simply defeated. They can't have a victorious life. You know, God requires that we live a victorious life. And we don't have to live a defeated life. But if we have that desire, and if we look at the Word of God, and we meditate on the Word of God, and we get into the Word of God, and the Word of God is real in our life, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, young men, we can have a victorious life. We can live above the snake line. We can live above the snake line. There's a certain elevation, I'm not quite sure, maybe 9,000 feet. There's no snakes above a certain elevation. So we get above 9,000 feet, we don't have to be scared of snakes. And that's why I'm saying we can live above the snake line. And we look and we turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. God truly careth about you. He loves you. And his heart's desire is that you give everything. You give your eyes, you give your hands, you give your feet, you give your whole body to him. That's God's desire. But he says, be sober. He says, be vigilant. You know, we have to be sober. We have to watch. Because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I get this picture. I have a question. So, if one of you would lift that blind up back there and you'd see a lion out there, you'd see him prowling around the church house. What would we do? Would we go open up the doors, or would we send one of our children out to see what's out there? Here it gives us a picture. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking who he may devour. I'm going to give it back to the young men. Many a young man simply struggle. And you don't have to. There's victory in Jesus. And I'll open myself up if you want to know more. Come talk to me. I'll share you my testimony. He went faithful young men walking a victorious life. God requires that of us.
Right.
Sisters, God requires that we have a thought life, a sound thought life. I'd love for my wife to come up here and share her testimony. What God can do with a thought life, with depression, with discouragement. I'm here to tell you there's victory in Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we get discouraged. We may be here tonight and we're discouraged. We're depressed. To the point maybe we can't even get our work done. Or we don't want to eat. We can't sleep. We have a racing mind. If you're struggling, I didn't ask my wife. I wasn't going to share this tonight. But I'm sure my wife would share her testimony, how the Lord has worked in her life. I'm standing here in front of you. And it's just by the grace of God, I'm not on medication. It's just by the grace of God, my wife's not on medication. And I'm not condemning all medication, but I'm telling you there's victory in Jesus. God requires that we walk a victorious life. You know, there's a devil out there and he's trying to, he wants to come in. Not just in our personal life, church life, marriages. He wants to destroy them. And we have choices to make. As I was sharing to a brother, I can call him a brother as of last night. Amen. I was telling him the power of Jesus. I explained to him the power of Jesus and what Jesus can do. So God is here. He wants to help us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to give us clear direction. He wants to guide us. And you know, as I shared in my opening here, you know, sometimes we don't understand why we have to go through these deep trials, these struggles, these hard things, these relationships and broken relationships. Just go into the Word of God. Let God open up to God and give it to God, and God will show you, God will give you direction. In the midst of turmoil, He can bring peace. But I must say, I really have a burden tonight. As I was meditating with Brother Mervin, and I see all the friends starting out right, being born again, walking in with the Lord. I'm not here to judge them today, but I wonder what happened. My heart's desire is that we Don't make those wrong choices. And it's those little decisions, little by little. And I look back. If those, some of the right people wouldn't have been there at the right time. I was a very liberal man. I had no godliness in me. Even after I was born again, I was a preacher in the old order church, being born again. I had no convictions. I'd be ashamed of telling you what I had no convictions of. I had no teaching. But God showed me. One at a time, He showed me, Joe, through the Word of God, you need to repent. You know, it showed to me last night, I was at awe again. Here, someone can be a sinner, a terrible sinner, and with a confession of the mouth, repentance and inviting Jesus into their heart in the matter of minutes. His funeral message changed. I was sharing too with him just a little before he was born again. I was sharing with him, I says, if you go out on the road, we live right there close to Bethlehem on 36, a lot of traffic, and you get hit. What are we going to preach about? You know, it wasn't but a short time later that whole message changed. So I praise God. There is victory in Jesus through faith and believing and repentance. So I just, my heart's desire is that we walk in victory. I ask that you would pray for me as I prepare for tomorrow night. And I want to thank God that He let me read the scriptures. My eye hurts, but it's not blurry. I praise God. So why don't we have a word of prayer yet? Why don't we just stand and have a word of prayer? Lord, we come to you tonight with thankful and grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, again for bringing us together in this way. Oh, God, we're so thankful and grateful for the word of God. We know your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And we know that your heart's desire is and you require things from us, Lord. And God, as we stand here tonight, I pray, Lord, that you would just give us clear direction. And that you would just show us the path to take, the directions to go, the steps to take. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here tonight struggling with addictions, depression, discouragement, they can learn to let it give it to you, Lord. Amen. God, you have your arms out there and you want it from us. So I just pray, Lord, that you would help us. And I praise you and thank you, Lord, for my eyesight tonight. Lord, I repent that I worried again. And you've been time after time after time, you've been so faithful to me, Lord. And yet I'm not sure, can I do this because of a certain little thing? And I repent of those times of having doubt. And I just thank you, Lord, for helping me. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue working in my life as all the brothers and sisters here and everyone who's here in their lives, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would bless them as we part here tonight. I pray, Lord, that as they go about their duties tomorrow, that you'd be with them, walk with them, be with them, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you.